gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live from the Chateau de Rothschild, nestled among the hills of Sicily, where we created the feminist movement to empower the divine female and destroy the divine masculine so that everybody would be a whole bunch of girly boys drinking from our BPA-containing plastic bottles and never really decide to rise up against us and actually try to protect their families, you know. And my very special guests are David Whitehead and Randy Morgan. Welcome back, guys.
Hey.
Hey,
nice hat, dude.
Yeah, a Spanish hat. My guitarist gave it to me. And I mean, it's true, though, isn't it? You know, the divine masculine, the warrior spirit, has been eradicated almost from the entire human race. And now, this is not me being sexist or anything, but there is a really horrific element within the females now that is coming through, where it's like this this overbearing feminine energy that is not there to help and protect and nurture men anymore. It actually instead does the direct opposite, and it cancels it out to a large degree and sees it as a bad thing. I see this massive propaganda campaign. I mean, like, think about this. Name me one intelligent father figure in a cartoon. Any cartoon you can think of. They don't exist. Okay? They're all idiots. They're all fat. They're all incapable. They're all poor examples of men. Now, think about positive female role models who are supportive and nurturing, yet at the same time look down upon the man in the relationship. Almost all of them. You know, we're thinking about Simpsons, we're thinking about Family Guy, we're thinking about Cleveland Show, and so on and so forth. There are virtually no good examples of either of these things, you know, because balanced relationships don't create conflict, and a TV show without any conflict doesn't make for good television, does it? And people forget that when you view something, you're imprinted with it, and you start to copy it, you start to believe it. And I think that this is working on a mass scale. Sure enough, men are getting fat, lazy, and feminized, and women are getting angry, controlling, and masculine. Am I wrong? Have I noticed something that's not happening? And is this part of a deliberate agenda, or is it all happening by pure coincidence? I think it's deliberate. What about you guys?
Well, I think it's deliberate as well. Maybe, Randy, you should go ahead and do this one.
Well, I think we all need to, because I think we all need to kick in on this. You're right. Balance makes for a lousy drama plot. On the other hand, conflict and resolution makes for a very interesting plot, but there's no resolution. I watch so little TV, I don't know what's really on anymore. Every once in a while, I pick something up when I'm going through my Netflix and I look at, you know, popular culture, and then I have to go for the garbage can or a barf bag. But what I do note is the imbalance on the female side is now we've got female TV characters who are basically ball-busting, militarized police officers who every week are out there slamming some guy's head against the curb while they're throwing cuffs on him. And so now we're at the place where the women have become this militarized image, and the men are now in this subservient sort of state of being tossed off walls by these female military operatives. And the problem is that all of this is blown out of proportion. That's not a good thing with a man. A man is not necessarily G.I. Joe. There's a good side to a warrior, but a warrior and a soldier are two different things. We're now living in a state where we worship soldiers as opposed to warriors, both male and female. And believe me, women can be awesome warriors, but they only be that when they embrace their feminine side and realize that there is a balance between all things in nature, and the male and the female really is sacred together. There's no such thing as sacred feminine. There's a sacred balance between male and female.
It's the divine feminine and divine masculine. These are the two spectra, and only when you're in the middle of that spectrum, when you embody both of those levels of divinity, I think, do you achieve any form of balance. And that's what I think people have forgotten, is that they need balance in their life. I mean, have a look at boys who don't have a father in their life for all or most of it. In New Zealand, they're 9 times more likely to have a criminal conviction. Mm-hmm. And look at girls who don't have a father in their life. They're something like 10 times more likely to get married and then get divorced as girls who have a father there who's balanced and so on and so forth in a stable family unit. And I believe that this is what I was referring to earlier. Aaron Roos, are we about to get cut up to break again? Let me check. So, we've still got 2 minutes. Aaron, we're gonna...
Squeeze it in, get it going.
4 times. We're like in the middle of this epic rant that you can cut right off. Castrated, if you will. This is the on-air castration of Vinnie Eastwood, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, and Aaron Russo was talking to Nicholas Rockefeller, and he says, you know, what do you think about feminism, Aaron? And he goes, well, you know, it's good to empower women, allow them to go into the workforce and that kind of thing and choose their own destiny. And he just starts laughing at him. An idiot, man. Don't you realize that the only reason why the Rockefeller Foundation funded feminism is to get women into the workplace and out of the home and to destroy the family unit? And now we've got 2 sources of income per household that we can tax, and the household ain't any richer, except we are, because we get to tax you. That was actually the full intention of the Rockefeller Foundation when they funded feminism. Look it up if you don't believe me. Don't call me sexist. Go and look up the information. And dig this. Here's another interesting statistic. If you were a female and you went to higher education like a college or university, I think 79% of those women who went to college or universities during the 70s at the height of the feminist revolution chose to never have children. 79%. And I thought, whoa, that is a giant warning sign that eugenics is working, don't you think?
Absolutely. And you know what, to sort of add to that, when you look at it going back to the media influence here and these sort of spin doctors on Madison Avenue, whatever you want to call them, bringing out these shows like Sex and the City. I mean, I watched a lot of friends that I had that were, you know, women, and they went after this like it was the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, this was a phenomena. This was a whole, it's created a whole subculture, these shows and this movie, and this whole idea of empowered women choosing to be single and defying society and defying the whole role of being a mother and being a caretaker. And I'm not against anybody exercising their free will if they feel more driven to do something, you know, individually. I don't think everybody has to be in a relationship and all that kind of stuff. But what it did is that it totally influence the whole shopping and labels and, you know, you're empowered and men are dogs and they're just out there to use you. And it's just this whole thing. And then when you look at women now and their conversations, and I talk to my buddies who get dumped, you know, on a regular basis just for whatever. And it's just like, it's just an epidemic. And a lot of that is created in the media. And that's just amazing how powerful the television and you know, all this advertising is on our subconscious. It's just, it brings me back to that rant, whatever his name was in that movie Network, where he's talking about how powerful that television can be to create culture. And you go back and you look at these social engineers and you see that they wrote it out. They wrote the recipe down and they said, this is what we're going to do. And then we're going to do this. And then we're going to do that. It's all been laid out and now we're living in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the purpose of Tavistock. It basically exists to write the script for the next phase of society, whatever it is. And we fall in lockstep. The electronic media, since the time of radio, has made it possible to form and shape entire cultures through media. And then it just goes viral. And the internet's no different. We praise the internet, but the internet is another tool too. We can use it properly, just like we can use video, radio, or any of the other media devices, but it's controlled at a corporate level for an agenda that serves the elites, which is basically to continue their slave class.
School now is. It's just a slave class, isn't it? Be a good slave. Shut up. Sit down. Do all this. Here's another thing. You know that male teachers are incredibly difficult to find now? In any subject. particularly in early childhood education, virtually impossible. Like, in fact, men are being sought out by these institutions because there's so few of them. They don't want to go into childhood education. Why? Because every time they actually try to show a little bit of love for these kids and try and mentor them and stuff like that, they get accused of being a pedophile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's just, there is an agenda to sabotage men, really. And at the same time, this agenda is a double-edged sword, and it also sabotages women. You have a look at it. What are happiness levels at? Okay? Happiness levels are just dropping sharply, as with the fulfillment, you know? Having a family, raising some nice kids, and getting on with life. Apparently, people think that they're giving up something in order to have that experience. The reality is you actually gain a whole lot more if you take that plunge, you know, get married, have some kids, and so on and so forth, and try and raise them and be a good parent. You actually grow as a person exponentially because of that experience. And now people are saying, you know what? I want to be able to go out on Saturday nights and drink myself silly every week. And I can't do that with kids, so I'm not going to have any kids. How freaking selfish is that?
Yeah. Well, like you said, it works for two different things. You know, you've got more people in the workforce supporting the system that can be taxed. So basically you have more cattle that are, you know, producing better milk, if you look at it like that. And then you also have the idea that we're not producing as much offspring. They're introducing these one-child policies. And it just, but people need to see that it's about the fact that they're creating this mindset. And the division in the family has always been, you know, the number one goal, because they know that the family unit, the community unit, the whole idea of human beings working harmoniously together, that does not serve the state. That does not serve the agenda to have people in subservience, because otherwise they become self-empowered. You know, I know a family, they just went off the grid. They moved out, you know, 30 minutes outside of the city, bought some land. They've got a well on the land. They got three kids. And they're growing all their food, and they're being self-sufficient. And I look up to these people because it just takes an incredible amount of courage, because they got nothing but ridicule from their friends and family for doing it. Yet it's paradise when you go to their place. It's just incredible. The kids love it. They're thriving. They're healthy. And, you know, so I look up to those people that are brave enough to take those steps to try to correct this in spite of this onslaught of an attack that we're facing here.
Randy? Something to add?
Actually, what David just said was completely spot on. The destruction of the family is a way to break down the smallest possible unit of cohesion in society. The family is a threat to a totalitarian state, because basically now we are being turned as enemies against our neighbors, against our communities. We no longer have a cohesive community system as we did when I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania. So the family was that last key unit, and now it's divided too. Your generation, the people who grew up in the 80s, had something we never heard of in my generation, and that was latchkey kids. Kids who went to school and came home, and there was a key there, and they left themselves in, and they took care of themselves. That was pretty much unheard of in my generation growing up in the 60s and the 70s. It became a phenomena in the 80s because of the divorce rate, the rate at which families were deteriorating and the rate of deterioration of the economy, which was, as we talked about earlier, the fact that now both families had to work to sustain what they considered to be, quote, a lifestyle.
Mm.
And if we take this through to its logical conclusion, that's actually one of the agendas of the New World Order, is to abolish the family entirely. And what I recall is a historical context of the very first legislation that was passed in Nazi Germany to discriminate against a specific group of people was not the Jews. It wasn't. It was actually homeschoolers were the first people to have legislation passed outlawing their activities and turning them into criminals. Because if you're parents are legally not allowed to teach their children, and they are forcibly indoctrinated in the government schools, you suddenly have a willing army who are willing to turn on even their own family, because they then perceive the state to be daddy and mummy, and the only thing that you need to show your loyalty to. And that is the true agenda, ladies and gentlemen, of the destruction of the family unit. Not to just, you know, promote women or anything of that nature. It's simply to destroy society's bonds that bind us closer together and make us stronger, so that we're weak and easily conquered. We'll be right back.